genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the Knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Nats and Nerds 2 podcast. We are a podcast for all things nerd. As always, my name is Chris. I'm here along with
John,
Sam,
and Sean.
John is here with us today.
Yay! Yeah,
in the flesh.
Yep.
Back here after
wish you put on clothes, but
yeah, after my profession was doxxed and Sean's last name was doxxed last week. It's been a pretty good week.
Yeah. But anyway, today's episode, as I mentioned last week, we are going to do Logan Legion, the Oscars, because John's here.
Yeah.
And Sam has a new thing where he randomly watches one movie during on the Netflix servers.
Yeah, bottom of the suggested four.
Yep. And he watches that movie regardless of what it is.
As long as it's not Westworld.
He's going to give us a review on it. Westworld will never be on Netflix. But anyway... let's just get right into this. First thing we're going to do is do Logan review, because it's all fresh in our minds. John just finished seeing it. Everybody else, we saw it on Friday night. So Logan came out. It is the last Hugh Jackman Wolverine movie. Studio was Fox.
And Patrick Stewart.
Yep. Studio was put out by Fox. And... what?
None.
Okay. All right.
John's
so let's just get
gestures.
Into it. We're going to try and do spoiler free for a little while, and then we might spoil it later. We're going to try not to because it is only out for this weekend. This is opening weekend. But first thoughts on the movie, whether or not it was... Everybody says this was the best Marvel movie out there. Let's start with, is it? And I'll go around. Sean, why don't you go first?
I'll go first. It's good. We finally get an actual Wolverine movie.
Agreed.
Lots of swearing, lots of blood. So that was nice. It was weird seeing Xavier swear, just saying.
But was it the best?
Well, it's kind of like how we were after episode 7 dropped. Like, yeah, obviously in my mind right now, I'm going to say, yeah, this is the best. But, I mean... I feel like one day we should sit down and keep yourself in check.
Yeah.
We should sit down and we should actually rank the Marvel movies because I feel like to do the X-Men movies, the Fox movies, because it's so easy to do the Marvel ones because everybody's basically in agreement with the top five, whether or not like there's different ways you can put them, but they're the same five. Whereas Marvel, they've had a lot more misses than hits. And like, we've talked about how Apocalypse was like, it was okay. It was mediocre. There was nothing spectacular.
Where would you put this then?
This one, in retrospect, I would put it towards the top. But okay. I mean, a month or two from now, I don't know if that's going to change. Kind of like we said with episode 7, like, was it really that good? Right now, I'm saying, yeah, Logan was that good. Okay. But I don't know if it'll change.
All right, let's stay same thing, Sam.
So was it the best?
Marvel. They're saying Marvel on the news, but if you want to just stick with either X-Men or Marvel, it's up to
you. I don't know about Marvel. I don't think it is the best of the Marvels, but certainly the best X-Men.
Okay. John?
Because it's just, they're so mediocre. It's kind of easy to jump that hurdle.
Yeah. Have you seen the other X-Men?
I have seen everything but the Wolverine.
Okay.
Which so the second best Wolverine.
Sounds pretty, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's good until like the third act. Then it kind of loses itself.
All right. Second best that Wolverine's in, or is just about Wolverine?
Of the three solo films.
Okay. I really liked Logan. I think I was coming in there thinking I would like love it. Maybe on a second watch, I'll like it a little bit better. It was really good. It, you know, really stood out. I didn't realize how much I really wanted to see ultra violence in a comic book movie, but like I really did. I don't know. There was a little bit like, well, I don't know. You don't want to give spoilers, but there's a part like we'll just say like in the second act that like is in like every movie where, you know, Yeah, well, I'll wait until we get into spoilers. But it was still like a little formulaic. Like, it wasn't, you know, people were talking about like how this was going to be like a different kind of comic book movie, which I think really, like, in comic book movies, it's like everything else pretty much in like Watchmen. Like, all the other ones are pretty much like the same. I mean, like, yeah, they have like a pretty like standard three act structure, and I mean, I'm kind of, you know, you could say the same thing about like action movies and like I mean, all the diehards are really like the same movie. But all right, we're getting a little off topic here. Logan, I thought it was really good. I didn't think it was great by any means. I definitely like didn't love it. There's some really good emotional moments in there. Mm-hmm. I think one of you guys said, "Did you wipe the tears away?" It's like, wasn't too broken up, but it was good.
Okay. So overall thoughts about the movie in general, likes, dislikes, just because I don't want to be formulaic in saying what we thought about it.
Let's start with this. What did you guys think about the rated R? Like, did you enjoy all those four letter words and like seeing people's heads like shatter?
Honestly, I like how they didn't overdo the four letter words. They really didn't. They said it a lot, but you know, it wasn't overdone. Like, they emphasized the words.
Yeah.
I think it was funny. Yeah, I think it was funny that every time Patrick Stewart swore, everybody in the theater laughed because we're not expecting that.
Expecting it.
Yeah. Like, if I saw Patrick Stewart in a movie, rated R movie, and he swore, I'd be like, oh, okay. But Professor X swearing, it's hysterical.
But he only did it a couple times.
Right. And especially in like the beginning.
That was fitting. Right. Because that's all you need. But it's the Wolverine and the bad guys. That's where the real swears.
The thing that I really enjoyed about it was the creative ways they showed people dying.
I don't know,
showing like the claws go through people, like their heads and stuff. Yeah, like, it was entertaining because it was like that mindless bloodshed that you needed from a Wolverine movie.
Just that first scene.
It's funny because in some ways, you know, people look at those like overly violent movies, like the original, like Total Recall is kind of like that, where it's just like kind of like over the top. But in some ways, like, it makes it more creative. Like, you see different things than just like Logan like lunging at some guy and like you just assuming, oh, well, he's dead.
Yeah.
You know,
you hear the and then you're like, oh, well, he's obviously dead now. This one, they're like, look, it went through his eye.
Yeah. or look, like his head just like get cut, split in half. Yeah. Like no one's really like like considered like, well, you know, he does have like six giant knives that he just like wields around and like chops people up. Like,
So I also want to get your thoughts on this. Did it feel like it was filmed like an indie flick in a way? There were certain scenes that it just seemed.
No, I wouldn't.
How about this?
It was certainly more dramatic than it used.
Do you like the fact that some of the scenes, a good portion of the movie was, you could tell they didn't spend a lot of money on budget. So a lot of it was desert scene.
Oh, the scenery was great. Scene.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't not indie, but low budget movie. They spent $95 million on this movie, so it wasn't really low budget, but
well, they were
it was
going,
simple.
You have two main characters' abilities are, one, he can heal himself and he has metal in his skeleton, and the other one is psychic. How much money do you really need to spend on special effects to do either of those?
Right. It's not like they had a guy like shooting fire or anything.
Yeah,
agreed.
I mean, they did spend some CGI weirdly on I mean, this really isn't a spoiler.
X-24.
Like, the opening scene with the car like getting dragging the fence, and like it's like pretty clearly all CGI.
I
wasn't really sure why it needed to be.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure why that whole thing happened.
There were a few scenes where I looked at it, I was like, it reminded me of Origins with the horrible use of CGI, but I mean,
I don't think it was too overblown.
No, it wasn't. That's the thing. In Origins, it was overblown, horribly overblown. This one, I mean, it was sprinkled in there. Obviously, I was like, that looks bad because it's CG.
No, it was nice. It didn't lean on it.
Right.
Yeah. The other one, like, it's like a power plant like blowing up. This is like a car dragging a fence.
Yeah.
No, honestly, the worst in Origins is when he's on the motorcycle. That is the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Wait, why? Is that all CGI of him?
It's him on the motorcycle with a green screen, and it's so obviously a green screen. I noticed it in the theater. I was like, oh, God, cut away, please, cut away. Oh. And they just never cut away.
You know, I never really noticed. I mean, not that I'm watching Origins, like, you know,
right.
every other week.
But if it's ever on, like, or you have access to it, just watch that scene and think of it. Like 10 years ago when it came out,
yeah,
how awful it was back then. It's just aged horribly since.
Yeah.
All right, we're not doing Origins. What'd you guys think about X-23? X-23 is the girl, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were talking about...
24?
Yeah.
No, 23. I know. The little girl. What'd you guys think? Laura. Sam.
I liked her. She was the hair.
Well, I mean, it's...
She didn't really have much of a character till like the third act.
Do you think the girl did a good job portraying somebody with Wolverine's ability?
Yeah.
She was angry.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was kind of fortunate from them that they did this movie like close enough that no one would think that like they saw Stranger Things. So it's like, oh, let's have that. Let's have her own little 11 in the movie. No, she was great. I thought that was a great part of it.
Congratulations to her. Big round of applause to whoever her stunt double was, because some of the shit that she was doing was fucking nuts.
Yeah, her fight scenes were awesome.
Her fight scenes were so good. Let's do that. Fight scenes. Overblown.
No.
Underdone.
No.
Awful.
They were great.
What do we think?
They were great.
It's a Wolverine movie. There has to be like over the top fight scenes. It's Wolverine.
Like John said, we actually get to see the claws penetrating somebody's body now.
Yeah, you know? if we were watching like 30 minutes of another like PG-13 movie, I'd be like, well, I've already seen this like 7 times.
Yeah.
I think the climax of the movie, once again, not trying to spoil anything, but...
We'll spoil it a little bit.
Well, the climax of the movie...
Wait, are you saying there's a fight at the climax?
I know.
Whoa!
But the climax of the movie was both hysterical and depressing at the same time. It was great, like, when he's right before the climax, when he's running towards them.
Yeah.
And, like, he's wheezing because he's just not...
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of man boob floating around.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's funny watching an overweight old Logan run. Because, like, you could tell he's not, like, ripped anymore. He's not healing. Right.
Yeah.
So, just watching him run, but the fat kid, though, running... Yeah. Laughed hysterically because he's like waddling away as fast as he can while the guys are running after him.
Actually, speaking of that, I don't think I'm spoiling anything, but the kids are running away. Mm. They're all powered,
right?
Why the hell didn't they just do anything?
I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be a good point.
I mean, they did at this some point towards the end.
Right.
But, you know, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's like, holy shit, we can freeze things. Let's stop and do this, you know?
Like, some of them did.
Oh, I can mimic the forest. Yeah. Why the fuck don't you just take the trees and make a wall?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But the one thing, I mean, it's kind of a spoiler if you know the comics, but...
Hold on.
Yo, how great was it when they froze that guy's arm and chopped it off?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
All right, sorry.
It's not a spoiler unless you read the comics.
Then don't spoil it because some people just don't read the comics.
Well, if you don't read the comics, it's going to mean nothing.
Let's do this. So we pretty much reviewed everything. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Overall rating of this movie. So before we spoil anything, give it a rating. 1 to 10, 10 being the highest.
Okay.
We'll start this side. Sam?
I'll give it like a 7, 7.5.
Okay.
I was going to go with an 8.
Okay.
I think Sam's about right. I'd say more like 7.5, 8. Well, I mean, you know, if I'm grading it on the curve of like blockbuster movies, like, I'd say it's like an 8.5.
Oh, if we're grading on a curve, then yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's up there. Yeah. But no, like as a movie, though.
As a movie, yeah.
I'd say like 7.5, 8.
I go 8.8.
It's 8.8,
8.9.
It's probably, you know, I can't speak because I have high hopes for Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but it's probably going to be the best comic book movie this year.
I will second that.
I will hope for that.
My one worry about that is that they're just going to make the first one again.
What, Guardians?
Yeah.
Right. Well, it doesn't look like
that's
it,
for the summer movie preview, which is coming up next week.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
I mean, I think the other contender maybe would be Spider-Man Homecoming.
That is true.
That would be the other contender, but even then, I'd still say right now it's going to be hard to top Logan.
You look at superhero movies in the Marvel genre alone. You got some big hitters coming out this year.
Yes, exactly. You got Spider-Man, Logan, Justice League. Spider-Man.
Well, I said Marvel, not Marvel. No DC.
I'm sorry.
Well, because you got Logan just dropped, Spider-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Ragnarok.
That's it.
But that's four movies that have a lot of hype. That a lot of people are looking for.
What's the Justice League movie?
Wonder Woman? And then we got DC. Wonder Woman and Justice League is coming out.
Yep.
So but, we got two for DC, which, I mean,
Wonder Woman. Worked for them last year.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with them.
Hey, they did win an Oscar.
Oh, shut up.
Let's shut your
whore mouth.
So let's do this. Let's go into the spoiler section. Okay. And you can now, Sean, you can say what you needed to.
Okay, spoilers. Okay, so.
The Old Man Logan comic.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's not what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Never
mind, continue then.
Yeah. No, when he gets the medicine from the kids and it says, don't take it all at once, signed Richter, I was like, oh, it's Richter. He's from the comics.
Okay.
Yeah, all no.
Right. So it was just the Easter egg reference is what you're saying?
He ends up using his power. He's the kid who, like, moves the Earth. Richter.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
One of them.
Right. So when, like, other than X-23, he's the only one that I, like, that they pointed out, like, this is a pre-existing mutant from the comics.
All right. So let me ask you guys this. Like, 10, 15 minutes left of the movie, did you think that he was going to lead, like, once you realize, like, all the kids are there, like, in North Dakota at Eden or whatever, did you think he was going to lead them all out and be, like, the next Charles Xavier?
No.
Really?
No, I was pretty sure he's gonna die.
Article I read where it basically said that because of comic book movies, we all have this thing in our heads that when the movie ends, something's gonna happen. Like kind of how like at the end of Carrie, how her hand comes up through the thing. How many of you guys were expecting his claws to come out of that grave?
I had an inkling of that.
Yeah, I had a feeling like they might do it.
No.
I didn't, but like they've already played that gag on us once.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So
I thought that would ruin the movie.
I agree. Well,
spoiler alert, by the way, at the end of the movie.
Well, we already said spoilers.
No. Logan, Xavier and Logan.
Tip one.
Oh, yeah.
Both die in this movie.
Tip of 40.
So, yeah, I got.
But that's why he's referring to the claw coming from the grave.
Right,
like Logan. Right. Logan dies at the end of this.
So, I going into this, I was pretty sure he's gonna die because it's Hugh Jackman's last film. So I'm like, he's probably gonna die. But once they showed Shane in it, I'm like,
oh yeah,
he's dead.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, but here's the thing: did you think he was gonna ride off into the sunset?
That's
dying.
I thought that's
because when I was like, Logan, come back, yeah. Logan.
All right, so let's go over both of these. Let's go over both of these because I thought they were very tastefully done. So Xavier's passing. It was interesting that they killed him that way.
Yeah.
With X-24, who is a very not very CGI'd, but a CGI'd old Logan, Logan.
When he's facing against Logan. Very CGI. When it's by himself, I'm pretty sure at like times it's actually
I'm pretty sure it's his face on top of a
body double.
Because
there is a body double.
There is a body double.
I looked
double.
At it.
Yeah,
I
there
saw
has
it.
Well,
on
there,
the,
I, there's going to definitely be when they're fight. When they right. don't, I could. I'm sure they use CGI, but like there might actually be some of like I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Either way, the scene that part he dies that way. But your thoughts on after that?
The thing about the whole death scene was like I thought it could have been done better.
Yeah.
Was it traumatic enough?
Yeah.
I was expecting
something worse. Like there were no tears for me on that part.
It was really sudden. It was in some sense sudden in a good way because like you know, you thought Wolverine came back. Like I thought that reveal was great.
Yeah,
that
it was a great reveal.
Wolverine. I'm like, oh shit. Well, yeah, that makes total sense.
But it felt like a waste of Xavier.
Yeah. He's like the one. He's like the. I mean, he's like 1A in the whole. You know,
you almost wanted it to
last
be,
four or
but
five.
But the thing
movies.
Is, you. I almost wanted it to be quick for him. You know.
Mm.
You don't want to see him suffer because he's been suffering since for years, it sounds like, since the quote-unquote the Westchester
which
incident.
Which they didn't talk
about. I'm happy.
About.
I'm so happy they didn't
mention
that
was good.
It was on the radio that they mentioned Westchester incident, hundreds of people dying. That's it. That's right, all we needed. Like, it was perfect.
I kind of want to know what happened.
And that's
okay. Obviously what happened throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Is what happened.
Well, he did the whole thing where he like concentrates too hard and kills everybody, like X2.
Yeah, he loses his mind. Yeah.
Right, which I'm assuming, but everything is assuming, which, I mean, it's X-Men.
But,
so
you have to...
I would hate for them to have
to... Yeah, but
Here's what I liked about
this.
But
clearly it was something big. Like, I mean, I don't think that's, like, bad that, like, they didn't, like...
I don't know.
Play a news report and tell us.
No, like, I know that, but, I mean, basically he dies saying, I remember, and then right through the chest.
Yeah, but here's the thing I liked about this. Comparatively to the other X-Men, they didn't spoon feed you everything.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't spoon feed you, oh, this is Iceman. He has ice powers. They didn't spoon feed you this.
No, I know that.
They made the audience was more mature and they could piece things together on their own. So, for instance, with the Westchester, they hinted the Westchester incident, and then all they did was mention it on the radio once and he turned the radio off. But you got what was happening.
We know the vocabulary by now. Like, we're well versed in like X-Men. Even, I mean, someone like me who didn't watch the TV, you know, cartoon show growing up, didn't read the comic books. Like, I instantly kind of knew like what the deal was with Westchester because, like, well, first off, when you get that scene in Oklahoma City or when they're at the casino or racetrack or whatnot. But then in X2, like that's the whole you know end game at the third act. Is that, so I don't know, but. They didn't. The fact that they didn't re-explain it everything again is, you know, it's more, you know, I'm glad they did that. I didn't want like a re-explanation of everything.
Right. Well, I mean, the only flaw behind this is now that it's out there, I feel like Fox is going to want to explain what happens. True. And now that you don't have Patrick Stewart and you don't have Hugh Jackman. How do you explain that without them?
Well, you don't need to for me.
For you, but this is Fox. They're milking this for all its money.
Do you know what else happened at the end of this movie?
Yeah.
All of them left.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They were the new X-Men. Well,
it's the new mutants.
I'll give you this about that. Like, I would have liked a bit more time with remorseful Xavier. Because he has that realization and then gets killed.
Right. It's too quick.
And it happens right on the top of a confrontation, too.
Yeah.
Like, there really wasn't any breathing time. Like, I mean, you had Logan, you know, bury him by the lake. But there's really, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a little tough because there's only one character. It's not like there's someone else who, like, knew him for, like, a lot of time. And they can somehow, you know, like, Logan and him can have a conversation or something like that about, like, what, you know, Xavier meant to them. But... I don't know.
You didn't need that. Like, you knew he was all about kids in the X-Men and you know, protecting the students and the lives of mutants and things like that. You knew what it was.
Yeah. Well, we knew that before. I'd like to see like what's changed in him. Yeah. Like how did that Westchester incident affect him?
Yeah.
What did you guys think overall of Patrick Stewart and just the character in this movie? I thought it was a really great job.
Oh yeah.
I think he did phenomenal with it. He really did play an old dementia guy really, really well. And then in the end, so Xavier's death happened, and then I definitely teared up at that part.
See, I did.
Especially
it
when
was
Logan.
Too quick.
But here's the thing. I felt the tears coming. Logan kept saying, there's water.
Oh,
and then
he said
it
the
again.
Burial, yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, shit, they're going to start coming. And then he's like beating up a truck with a fucking shovel.
Yeah, that was pretty
And
funny.
Then I'm like, whoa. All right, well, I don't need to cry
now.
I'm laughing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm laughing.
The only part I teared up, which I'm pretty sure we're getting to.
We're getting to the second death now.
Right.
So the second death.
It's the only time I teared up. I didn't cry. I, like, felt it coming, but it, like, it didn't hit me as hard as I thought it would.
I had one tear.
So we're going to talk. The second part, so Logan, he essentially saves the kids, but he gets killed in the process by 24.
Yeah.
So that death, I think he did such a good job with the whole thing. Hugh Jackman's performance throughout this whole movie, I think it was probably the best X-Men, or the best Wolverine performance that he's ever put forward. Mm-hmm. And he's usually the standout for all those movies.
Because he's back to I don't care anymore.
Exactly.
Because, like, in the first one, he was like, I don't want to be a part of this team. Oh, wait, we're a family now. And then X2, yeah. We're a family now. X3, we're a family now. Yeah. Wolverine, I'm part of a family. the Wolverine, he started off like, no, I'm a loner. And then ends up, oh, I'm in a family now. In Logan, it's like, no, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Screw yeah. that. Like, the whole movie, he's like, Xavier's a burden on him. Stephen Merchant's character is a burden on him. Everything is a burden on him. And
it's just the darker side of a family.
Yeah, and like he finally feels like he's part of a family again and when he dies.
Didn't you like... I really liked this when it was written. It was all the scriptwriter at that point. She never called him dad until end. The very and end. Then he says, so that's what that feels like. Yeah. And that's when I started crying. Because... It just, you know, he never would have had that. But that was the first Logan experience.
It's another death combined with humor, though.
Yeah, and then because you show the kid.
They show the kid holding the Wolverine
action figure.
It's the fat kid, too.
He was ruining that, but then...
Tone was a little off.
Oh, I mean, it shows that the tone wasn't off. Knew who he was, and they idolized him.
They worshipped him in a way.
Which I did like the fact that they introduced the comic somehow, and...
Yeah.
Sauron is actually in the movie as a comic book cover. So that was pretty cool for me. Because I don't know how you do a humanoid Pteranodon character in a movie other than on a comic book cover. So I was okay with that.
Did they do the comic book thing in Deadpool too, where the comic books are actually in the movie? Or was that something
else? No, that was People magazine when he's the sexiest man.
Wasn't that in something else though, where like the comics are in the movie?
Yeah, I almost feel like it was.
Something
was.
Like
was that. It Watchmen? Maybe
I'm wondering if it was Watchmen. No, because
Watchmen, the comics are actually it might have been.
There was like another one recently. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I forget.
That was cool though.
It was the kid. It wasn't really the tone. Didn't really hit you.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's what they were going for. I could have really done without the yellow action figure.
Yeah.
But then.
It was cool.
Then again, I teared up even for after that, which is hard to believe because there was only 12 seconds left. I teared up after that when, you know, she bent down, she took up the cross. And I'm like, all right, that makes sense. He wasn't, maybe not have been Catholic, but then I'm like, fuck, she's doing it. And then she flipped it to the X. I'm like, fuck, all right, took now me I'm like, crying yeah. again. It
took me 1 second to figure out that was.
Because that's...
I'm like, huh, what the... Oh,
he's,
X.
He's the last mutant.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That we know of.
It's implied.
True mutants. It's true implied.
True mutant.
Everybody else is a created mutant, which in the comics, they hated each other, which is always entertaining.
All right. Agreed. But anyway, performances by Hugh Jackman.
I thought I completely agree with Sam. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
Is he going to win an Oscar?
No. Right. So here's my next question, because I actually thought about it. And since we're doing Oscar talk this time, take out the fact that it was a comic book movie, and what story do you have? An old man who has dementia.
Right.
Old man who is also his friend, who is essentially dying on his last legs type thing. And they meet up with this young... turns out to be daughter of one of the older old guy. And then they go on a road trip.
Little Miss Wolverine.
It's yeah. But here's the thing. They touch all the amazing... all the emotional points for Oscar bait movie.
Yeah.
If you take out the fact that it's a comic book movie, it's an Oscar bait story.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No.
Am I just thinking?
I mean, maybe in spirit.
Yeah. Well, you take out the fact that
everything comic book.
I don't know. They're still being chased by the cops.
Just pretend she's an illegal.
Yeah.
And then it's ice. It's not the reverse, it's ice.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I wanted to go in and be able to tell you, like, yeah, maybe it could. I don't think it will.
Yeah.
I don't think it will because it's not a comic book movie.
Let's, like, not... There's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's fine. Like, this was... to me, like, a lot more meaningful than, like, 75% of the other comic book movies we've gotten in the last decade and
I'd
a half.
Go higher. 90.
Yeah.
95%.
So, this is good. Like, this is a great step. I mean, where do you guys... What did you guys think? I mean, do you want to see more of this? Is this like, would you want to see more of like the, you know, stuff that's like rated R?
I'd like to see more mature comic book movies.
Exactly. Think about the mature comic book movies we've gotten in the past like 20 years. I mean, we've gotten Watchmen, which mixed reviews, either you love it or you hated it. Mm-hmm. Deadpool, which is one of
the... Yeah, but that's... I wouldn't say that's mature. That's
no, like that is 14, very mature.
Are we talking rated R mature, or are we just talking...
No, rated R, like a movie that is rated R.
Well,
a comic book movie. Because, and then you got the...
I think John's referring to mature, like... Well, but then you got you were referring to mature. Yeah.
See, but then you got... But so all these comic book movies that have come out have basically been PG-13 or Big Hero 6. But then, but like I said, you've got Logan, you've got Watchmen, you've got Deadpool. You've got Deadpool, and then you've got the Blade trilogy. Other than that, there's really no rated R movies. Everything else is PG-13. And honestly, some of these characters need an R, and they've shot themselves in the foot, like with Wolverine Origins and The Wolverine, where The Wolverine could easily have been a rated R movie, but they decided not to.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be some movies where, like I can never see a Captain America movie where that's rated R.
Right.
No, like, that would seem awful. And you know what? Honestly, maybe with the exception of Iron Man, or maybe Ant-Man 2, I don't think I could see any of the actual, you know, Avengers series stuff.
The issue with the Avengers movies is it's too family-friendly. Like, all the characters are too... They've introduced them as family-friendly.
Well, also, it's that's part of its charm.
Right. No, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
It's fluffy.
But there are characters out there that could, like... I mean, you take any of the Netflix series thus far, you could easily have turned them into a rated R movie.
Yeah, like Luke Cage. Exactly.
It's a very dark feel to it. And especially like the Punisher, when like that series comes out, like that's...
Oh yeah, that could be a...
Which rating. Oh yeah, the two Punisher movies were also R, but they both pretty much sucked. They did.
Thomas Jane.
That one was bad.
No.
No, it wasn't good.
It was sure as hell not bad though. That was a good movie.
It was not good.
Oh, take out Travolta, obviously. Well, but
oh my god, I forgot about Travolta.
Yeah, Travolta's the bad guy.
No, it's... I would love to see a more mature, thought-provoking comic book movie, but the thing is, you're not... Two things. The cast and the characters that are left, it can never happen. Maybe Black Panther, but that's it.
Now, even then. You're going to have to introduce
I'm talking mature. I'm talking mature, not rated R. It doesn't need to be R. It just needs to make me think... And but it be a good story.
But it doesn't need to be rated
all the plot.
Like, it doesn't need to be rated R. No, but
you're saying where he said mature movie. You're saying rated R.
Well, then don't say mature and rated R.
He just said mature.
I mean, sometimes they do come hand in hand.
Sometimes they do, but they don't need to.
You can watch Logan take out all the blood, take out all the swears. It's a PG-13 movie.
Agreed.
Oh yeah,
agreed.
They
just did it that way,
right? Because that's true to the comics. They want it to be true to the comics.
I think it's true to the character.
It definitely is. But Sam's implying that mature movie doesn't need to be rated R. It's just whether or not you want to see the mature about it. Here, the cast that's left, I don't see it happening. Number one, because it's already established. Number two, because the new characters are kind of light, and it doesn't go that far.
Well, what universe are we talking
about?
Never
going to get my second point across.
I know, but what universe are we talking about? Are we talking about the Fox, or are we talking about Marvel?
Either or.
Because with Marvel, I mean, Winter Soldier was a pretty serious, like, mature movie.
Yes.
So
and they did it.
You could easily do that with Captain America. To a point, they did that with X3 because he was dealing with PTSD.
Let's go to my second point. The mature movies are not going to get $1 billion.
Yeah, right. That's the big thing.
That's the next big thing, because even though you want it to be for Winter Soldier, if you made it more mature, rated R, for instance, never going to hit, what was it, $900 million or something like that?
Right.
Especially when Infinity War, they spent $1 billion on it.
Yeah.
So,
right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's ever thinking the, like, you know, the crown jewel movies are ever going to be. But, like, I'd like to see, like, maybe one or two a year that are like kind of like genre-y, like a little more serious. Like I'm not like if there's like six superhero movies a year, or if well let's even simplify it. If there's like four or five from Marvel, which there is now, I'd say, right?
Just three or four, yeah. Per year. Yeah.
If you give me one or two that's interesting,
happy. Yeah. Here's the thing I could see. They're afraid to kill people.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So the what is it, Ultron, they essentially set up Hawkeye to die.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And even in Civil War.
They killed Quicksilver though.
Oh, the guy introduced.
Yeah, the guy we just introduced.
And who comes back like what, like 2 months later
in the X-Men movie?
Apocalypse.
Right. Well,
he's the best part of that movie.
Yeah. Well, that's why they killed him off.
Yeah,
like,
but
it was like one of those agreements. Okay, you guys can use Quicksilver. We're going to use.
I like to think that these universes are all have to deal with resurrection and stuff. Yeah. Wolverine's going to pop up in the Avengers movies.
Anyway, back to Logan. Story was great, I think.
Yeah.
There was only one way you could really send off Logan, and I think that was a good way to do it.
Kill him.
No, I wanted him to. I was expecting him to walk away, like very
and die off camera.
Yeah, not even just walk away.
See, what was even better is that he got killed by himself.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's really better, but it's definitely a little twisted. Well,
no. If you think about the character,
the only thing that can kill him
is himself. Only thing that can kill him,
And what is he battling his whole time? He's battling himself.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because...
And that's usually like a tacky move to like clone somebody and have them fight each other.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, like that's the only thing. And you know what? When I was, I guess, a little surprised that he died at the end, but like when I saw the clone show up, I was like, oh, shit. Well, that's obviously that's going to kill Wolverine.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, that they said that the adamantium is the thing that is killing him.
Yeah, I did like that.
It's
well, they didn't even quite
almost
say
Iron Man 2-ish, you know?
They didn't even quite say that the adamantium is what's killing him.
Because it was a passing comment.
It was like a passing comment that, when he's at the urgent care thing, and he's like, there's something wrong inside of him. He's like, yeah, I know. Like, it's what's inside me. And then... Even like him, like it's a, like a passing comment. Him mentioning that the animantium's killing him.
Yeah. Fight scenes were great.
Did not need the random gratuitous nudity.
In the limo.
Hey, driver. That was very shoehorned in. I'm like, why?
I get that they were trying to show show his job, but I mean, all right, whatever. It wasn't a big deal. Who really cares?
Show me a bunch of drunk bridesmaids, and I would have assumed it happened.
Yeah, like puking all over the back.
Yeah.
It would have been hilarious. all right, we spent a lot of time on.
Oh yes,
but
we did.
I definitely think people should see this movie.
Yeah,
you don't. Well, I guess you do need to see some of the comic books movies or the X-Men movies.
You need to know the characters.
Yeah.
You at least know the characters.
At least on the plus side, if you watch the original trilogy, first two, they're good films, and you can understand the characters easily.
Yeah. I kind of want to see this movie again.
I got to watch one and two again.
Certainly a second time.
So where do we go next with the X-Men? Have they said, are they going to do, because it looks like
they're going
essentially.
Backwards. They're going to sequel to Apocalypse.
Okay, because it's like almost they've set up new
mutants.
Yeah.
Cast for both.
New Mutants.
Yeah.
Which, like...
I think they're in the work... They're working on a New Mutants. Either a TV show or movie. I'm not quite sure.
I know there's going to be a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, Bryan Singer has... It sounds like there's going to be a TV show. I mean, completely unrelated to our next topic, Legion.
Right.
But,
we'll see what happens. I think they're going to take a pause for a second.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Then work on their Deadpool, and then,
Which, how awesome was that teaser in the beginning?
It was
funny. You should watch the one online because it's actually different.
Does
Stan Lee show up in the one in the movie?
No.
Stan Lee is in the one on the thing.
Oh, wow. Online,
which seemed really weird to me.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny because, I'll let you watch it.
Okay.
I'll let you watch it.
We'll have to watch this afterwards.
Yeah,
it's a good Stan Lee cameo. All right. Best Stan Lee cameo. Sam.
I need to think about all of that.
I'll agree with Stan Lee on his best cameo. So
what's that?
His best cameo was Age of Ultron.
the strip club,
right? No.
Oh, no, yeah, that's right. He was drinking the
Thor drink. Yeah,
no, he did one shot.
Yeah, one shot with Thor. He's like, I'll have whatever he's having. The reason why he liked it so much is because he got two actual scenes. One where he's drinking with Thor, the next when he's being carried out of the party.
Yeah.
So that's why it's his favorite. He got two scenes.
Anyway. Okay. All right, let's move on. Logan is highly recommended. We went very long on Logan, but that's okay. Yeah. It was worth it.
It's all right. It's the first movie of the summer, big movie of the summer. And hey, if it's any indication, it's going to be a good summer, unlike with Batman vs. Superman last year.
That is very true.
Valid. $237 million worldwide for Logan so far. $85 domestic. And it's Sunday, so we're not getting final numbers yet.
Right, so...
I don't think they took into account my $11 I just spent. So.
11? Where'd you go?
Randolph. Showcase.
Oh, damn.
11? All right. Anyway.
I don't know. I don't think I even checked.
Okay, so anyway, let's move on. Next topic, Legion. We haven't talked Legion in a while. Four episodes came out.
You're only at three.
I'm only at three. I've been doing a lot of shit, so I can't. Yeah, so you guys can discuss a lot of this.
Who wants
it? But I do have to say, the third episode of Legion was awesome. Chris, I told you guys earlier.
What happened in the third episode? Like, I'm not going to lie, they all blend together.
Yeah.
It's the same story. They go back in the past.
All right, they go into his memories.
They sedate him into his memory.
The angry boy.
Oh, yeah, God. The angry boy.
That's a scary episode.
And it found out that Cindy was the only other one who could see the guy with the yellow eyes.
Yeah.
And then, like, Adolf Hitler was chasing him around.
Was the angry boy, not Adolf Hitler.
It looked like Adolf Hitler.
The
angriest boy in the world. There was a very gratuitous shower scene.
Lots of butts.
I just really liked it, the way it was done. And CGI was okay, obviously, but...
No, it's TV CGI.
It was just a good episode. I mean, they progressed the story even further.
Right, and it had that horror kind of quality.
Yeah, it definitely had a suspense thriller type of thing to it.
Where you had the yellow-eyed demon and the angriest boy basically chasing after them, trying to kill
him. Yeah, exactly.
And they're progressing the mystery, where, like, now it's building more and more, where we're like,
right.
Now something's in his head, working against him.
I think at the end of the third episode, you're like, well, literally, what is real on this show?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, anything.
Yeah, so much craziness on it. He did show that he can kind of transport his essence, quote-unquote, to somewhere else. Because he did that.
Oh, yeah.
She was captured. His sister was captured.
And the eye was able to notice
him. Yeah, yeah, the one guy with the one eye was
the
able
eye.
To see him.
The eye. That's what they call him.
Oh, they do call him that?
Yeah, the eye.
Okay. All right, so what happened in four?
So
in you guys can talk about this.
So
did anything?
The intro alone was just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, because
it's the dude from Flight of the Conchords.
Don't go into all the nitty-gritty details.
No, we're not. But literally,
it's
the opening.
Chaos.
No, but we have to explain just in a conversational way to you, like, some very basic things what happened, or else you're gonna have no fucking clue what we're talking about. So it begins with Jermaine Clement, who is, the New Zealand guy.
From Flight of the
Conchords. Who voiced the coffee machine previously and is the white or the dead, incapacitated, dead-ish husband.
The guy who founded this compound.
Yeah, of the...
him.
I forgot any name.
What's your face is from Designing Women's husband.
Yeah. Okay. So they mentioned him before. So now he's... introducing, he gives this kind of, you know, it doesn't really even matter because it's sort of like a preamble to the whole thing, but he introduces the show, which is funny because first off, you see him, and it turns out he is in the astral plane.
Yeah.
Yep.
In the astral plane, just hanging out in like unconstructed consciousness. And our buddy Davey walks in and, you know, they have a little chit chat for a while. He lives in an ice cube.
The look on Chris's face.
But
trust me,
he's
it
safe
makes
in the
he's
David
safe
is,
in the ice cube. You know, yeah, the guy with the yellow eyes cannot come in.
Yeah,
the demon with the yellow eyes,
the monster.
Yeah,
but everything is was it as long as you wish it, it can like happen in this like astroplane.
Also, a thing they pointed out was he mentioned that the demon with the yellow eyes, or the man with the yellow eyes, he's not David.
Yeah.
Like, he's
not... I thought he said, no, that's a part of you.
No, he was talking about it being, like, foreign. Like, it's something else inside of it.
I thought it was the exact opposite.
Because he called it a parasite.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. He does. So he calls him a parasite. And we get a little bit of a better... This whole episode is
so it's
insane.
Almost another telepath.
Pretty much. They don't...
I don't know.
I don't even know if that whole conversation takes place. I mean, you see their dead husband, who's in some kind of like stasis in like a frozen room.
In a diver suit.
In a very old diver suit. Like, what's that movie with Cuba Gooding Jr., Men of Honor? He's a diver.
Yeah.
That kind of diver suit. Because this is, you know, takes place in 19. So.
And if you're going to put someone in stasis, diver suit.
Yeah. You got to keep the guy safe. So. So he's talking to David, trying to steer him the right way. What else happened? So meanwhile, who is it? It's Carrie. We finally understand what the difference with Carrie and Carrie are.
Yeah.
One is a part of the other, literally.
Yeah.
God, this episode is just so good, though.
It was amazing.
I don't want to break it down in individual parts, because it's almost like just total like folly to do so.
Well, it's
like it all kind of comes together.
The whole like 40% of the episode, or not 40%, the first 40 minutes of this episode. Even like Sid, Carrie, and what's her face?
Ptolemy. Oh,
The older lady from Designing Women. That's all I know her from.
I would say it's an M. It's an M.
But either way,
W.
Oh, all right, whatever.
Anyways,
either way, it's that.
The actress name is Jean Smart.
Yeah, the whole time they're trying to determine if they're still stuck in David's mind or not.
Well, no, they bring that up in passing,
right? Because
what they're really trying to do is corroborate what David has been showing them in his memories.
Right, like they're trying to piece together his past.
And you start learning that his memories are not accurate.
Right,
yeah,
like, you know, there's this dog he always talks about that actually isn't real in any way.
Oh, the beagle?
The beagle, he never had a dog.
Never had a dog.
Wow. Like, they talk
so to he's his, just fabricating these memories for those people.
No, that like...
We don't know.
I don't think he's like... exactly consciously lying as so much as like he remembers there being a dog.
Right.
When there isn't,
like it's like it's you're
Melanie.
Piecing Melanie,
the girl with Melanie.
No. Melanie, yeah, I thought it was
Whitney. But okay,
whatever.
But anyways, the whole episode is like piecing together his past, but at the same time, you're questioning whether or not they're out of his mind because Sid is still seeing the angriest boy in the world.
Yeah,
like in the forest, like randomly, she's seeing
him.
And
they bring up in it that he can basically create reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I forget what the husband's name is, but that's what Jermaine says to him.
Yeah.
Jermaine's just a perfect name for him.
So they still didn't imply where everything is going.
Right.
From what I've seen right now, it's just get his sister back, and that's pretty much it.
That's basically
right. And we
where
check in on his sister, and we actually find out that she's being held next to his old doctor. From the Clockworks Asylum.
Okay.
So he's real. So there's another one, you know, put it on the board.
A real board?
Sister is real.
Right. We're pretty sure. We're not entirely sure, though, but we're pretty sure.
Of all the people, we're most sure with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to do, if maybe next week we'll do like a Who's Real Power Ranking.
Okay.
Because it's not entirely clear, but God still, damn, the show is just—it's so out there, and I'm eating it up.
Yeah,
it is really good.
Okay,
trust me, you'd enjoy the fourth episode. No. It's so batshit crazy.
I have it.
You gotta watch it.
You gotta and give it. You know, if you're busy right now, Chris, don't like rush it. Don't like be like, all right, let me bang this episode out. Like, let it. Like,
I think
watch
I may
it
wait
just, like, let it.
Until Wednesday. Watch this one, the fourth one, and then bang out the fifth one.
Yeah,
right after. All right.
So I'm gonna guess you guys are pretty hooked on Legion.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
And now, what do you think of the big reveal? Do we want to say the big reveal at the end of the episode, or we want to maybe?
No, we'll hold off on that one.
Okay. Because I don't think it really means anything. Like, I still like, there's no, like, oh, what's going to happen now? I don't fucking know. Do any of you guys, like, even have, like any kind of idea?
No. I'm well, still what the fuck's going on?
I know what's going to happen. It's just, I don't know the process of how they're going to get there. So everything is, like, a question for me. Right, because I know of the comics, so.
You know.
I know.
Okay. Any other? No other?
No, it's Legion. Solid show. Keep watching.
Legion is fantastic, and if you like Legion, or like parts of it, or like the kind of like overall feel of it, you should check out Fargo, too. The TV show, because it's the same guy, and it's... I mean, like, it's tough to call them the same show because they're about very different topics, but it's very much the same kind of feel.
Speaking of that, Rachel Keller is in Fargo.
She is?
Yes. As well as Legion.
Yes.
Maybe she knows someone.
It wouldn't be the first studio that actually, or TV station that like actually the, shares actors.
Yeah. But FX never shares actors.
Oh, God, no. I mean, there was...
No, just American Horror Story.
And O.J. Simpson had nobody the same.
Yeah. No, yeah, those are the same people.
the XF Universe will be our next movie creation.
Oh God,
the Ryan Murphy verse.
All right. So let's go on to the topic that we wanted to discuss, but we couldn't until today. The Oscars.
It's been a week,
and the thing that's been festering in Chris's mind for a week.
So Chris's complaint corner.
This whole fucking Oscars is Chris's complaint corner.
Oh boy.
All right. Are you going to talk about the ending first? Because we got to talk about the ending.
Let's just start off with that. All right. So, La La Land was announced as winner.
Right. Yeah.
But Moonlight was really the actual winner.
Yeah. Right.
And this all happened because some idiot was tweeting
and
not paying attention to his job.
Another dumbass accountant.
Yeah. And you're Matt Damon's fat brother. Does he not look like Matt Damon's fat brother?
I just didn't.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he does.
I didn't make that assumption. I was just
the first time I ever.
I was
saw
more concerned
guy.
About
like,
reading the article.
So I didn't read the article because I basically didn't care. But okay, so what happened?
Nothing. They announced Warren Beatty and what's his face.
Yeah,
they sat there looking and be like, "What's going on here?" I mean, and then they announced it.
What do you mean the accountant was not doing his job?
He was supposed to give
the right
envelope to Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway.
Yep,
and. He was right before then. He was tweeting a picture of something and on his phone, essentially not paying attention. And he gave the best actor rest.
The backup
envelope, which is why the fuck do they have two?
To avoid something like this.
Yeah, but
He
passed
by.
He was just distracted. That's it.
Okay.
He was distracted. I think he got fired. But
I believe it.
He's still working with the...
No, but PwC
He's the managing office of the... Well, they haven't actually fired PwC yet. I'm pretty sure they will. It's the
easiest killing
history.
But no, it's... And I get it. And it's tricky. And, you know, they were looking at the thing thinking... This isn't right, and they should have said something. But they're older,
Warren Beatty was looking at it. Yeah, and he showed Faye Dunaway to be like, "I'm looking at this right." That says Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Warren Beatty's being all weird and shit. I'm like, oh God, fucking Warren Beatty.
But
dragging this out.
He should.
We all know you're gonna say La La Land. Just fucking say La La Land. And then she says La La Land. And you're like, But then you realize, oh shit, he's like. This is the wrong fucking card.
He didn't even. The thing is, the category is written on the card, and on the front of the envelope.
Yeah.
And I get that, but there should also be. This is like this. Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey. Yeah.
They should have the fucking things written down, so these idiots can read it. Like
make
the foolproof. The category title. This is your winner. Don't write down. All this other BS because Steve Harvey had like second runner up, first runner up, and all the just write 1, 2, 3.
You gotta idiot proof.
Oh, yeah.
Like Chris, how many college classes like do you have in business when you have a business degree? Are they like, yo guys, you're just gonna make it simple. You just gotta like idiot proof it. Like look at this guy, he idiot proofed it. They made like $1 million
without a doubt. If you make things so complex, you're never gonna get it. You have to dumb it down to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel bad for Warren having a pretty shitty year, having a movie coming back as a director.
And it wasn't really his fault either. Yeah, he could have said something, but it really wasn't his fault at all. And then it just took forever for them to fix it.
Yeah, it wasn't they until got La La Land
the third producer. Like, yeah, it got to the third producer, and it just didn't. And even then, that wasn't a big deal.
No. What was stunning to me is how few people actually knew, like, the who won. Because, like, if the producer or the director of the show knows, they're, like, immediately, like, cut. Trying to, like, somehow stem the tide. Like, they're trying to, like, fix something. Like, they're not going to have everybody come up, or they're going to, like, cut to something else, or there's going to be something that's going to happen.
The amazing thing that, for me, is when they announced La La Land as the winner, is the voiceover lady announced, like, this is blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, she had it written down, but it was wrong.
Well, no, she has one for everything.
Right.
No, but so, I didn't hear that announcement.
Oh, yeah, when they were like, when he was like, La La Land, they're like, oh, she's like, this is the, like, fifth win for La La Land, blah, and first win for
director. Oh, so she just didn't even announce, oh, this is the first, second Moonlight win.
Right, it wasn't Moonlight, it was La La Land. Yeah, right. Which I'm very surprised, because I'm assuming she's locked in a box somewhere with all the winners.
Yeah.
But why would she have, like, one for everything? That just seems confusing to me,
too. They should have had it pre-recorded.
They try to keep it.
Well, I think they don't want any more people to know than necessary.
Yeah, but you lock her in a box with the winners. And, like, this is the only time you're going to announce
it. Hey, it's a long show, dude. This is, like, a 3.5-hour thing. Like, she's going to have to pee.
We haven't hit, story of Chris's complaint corner.
Oh
yet.
Boy!
So further on this, people thought it was a conspiracy theory because they wanted people to actually Kimmel watch too. Moonlight because nobody watched these fucking movies at all.
Oh, yeah,
everybody thought it was a conspiracy theory. No, the conspiracy theory is, why the fuck didn't the best director and best movie be the same?
Because it never is.
No, but it
usually
why?
Is.
Well,
but not always. Why wasn't it? I don't get this. If the best movie out there was done by a director, what's the difference between best director, best movie?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
So, there's a pretty good answer, Chris, and really there isn't.
Exactly. This probably is the conspiracy. Be. That's the real conspiracy.
But, I don't disagree. I don't disagree that Chazelle should have got it, because to get Moonlight right, you have to be, there's more on the shoulders of a director. Like, there's some movies where the story sort of carries it. And granted, the director's at the head. Well, technically, it's like, you know, if this is a corporation, the director's like the CEO and the producers are like the board of directors, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're like steering the ship, but the producers are saying, like, let's go in this direction, but the director actually has to steer the ship, so to speak.
But it's responsibility, and if things go bad, that's it.
Right,
the first one to fall on the sword.
And I'm like 55% like devil's advocate here, by the way, because I just think there's some movies that are harder to direct. Like, there's movies where that aren't better than others, but like the efforts of the director are more pronounced and are more like should be recognized.
Yeah, well, like,
also it's a great thing to do the split decision, to be like, well, you know, we don't want this movie to sweep, so we're gonna acknowledge one in one case and one in the other.
Then it's all political.
Okay, here's the thing. The whole Oscars is political.
No, I
basically
know.
It's you have this the board who's like, these are the movies that are nominated, and then the movies give them money and gifts and say, you should probably vote for us.
And this is,
and then based on how much they get, that's how they decide.
And then this is the next thing.
Not really.
But no, it really is.
No. So what happens is that you have, you know, all these movies pretty much slated in the last 3-4 months of the year. And you have the Academy of Motion Picture and Arts and Sciences. They're, I think their members, they all like vote to get the nominees down. And then once they're nominated, everybody has to vote. And think of the Best Picture too. It's not exactly decided how you think it is. It's like, it's like a ranking system. So, you know, having a movie that's not great, but just, like, sort of everybody likes, is, like, advantageous. Which is kind of like what happened with La La Land. Like, La La Land is such, like, an enjoyable movie. Is it great? No. At least in my mind. It's not, like, a great movie. Is Moonlight a great movie? Yeah, probably.
But, okay, so were there any standouts?
No. Okay. I thought Moonlight was probably the best. Manchester by the Sea, which I saw last night, I really didn't care for it. It was good. It was a sad movie. No one's lying to you when they say it's a sad movie. I didn't really like the ending, though.
That seemed kind of like a like I haven't seen it, but just from the vibe I'm getting from it, it seems rather manipulative.
In what way?
Like it's like really trying to make you have the feels.
Yeah, I mean, it's about a guy's brother dying, and he has to. I mean, people have gone through a death of a loved one, and like I'm sure, you know, those feelings come back. And you know, I mean, Casey Affleck, without giving a lot away, he's had other tragic things happen in his life, so you know, you go through that. I mean, it's like a shitty situation. It's people trying to get it, but it's not. I don't know. It's really a downer for sure. But
here's another thing. I think when there's not a standout good movie,
right?
Like The Revenant was probably the standout good movie of what last year.
I mean, it didn't win Best Picture.
No, but what was the other? There are years when there's one standout movie that sweeps everything. Where
like Return of the King, like right. just shot yeah. everybody in the face.
But
like,
here's that was the standout. And I'm thinking that if there's no standout, all they're saying is all these movies. Let's at least give them one thing.
Yeah, but
right.
But isn't there, Chris? Though, like on the other hand, like saying. What's the, like, do you have to have, like,
I don't have an example
a movie live, like, win, like, every single Oscar? Like, isn't it, I mean,
no, but it just,
I think it's, like, fine that, like, you recognize, like, some in some cases and not in others. Like, some, like, Casey Affleck had a great performance. I didn't see Fences. I couldn't speak to you how Denzel Washington was. I'm sure it was great. But I don't think I had a problem with Casey Affleck winning. And when I saw Moonlight, Mahershala Ali, he's the best part of that movie. So yeah, he should win Best Supporting Actor. He's the best part of what ended up being the Best Picture. So like, how could you not? You know?
But then you think if it's the Best Picture, it should follow that if it's the Best Picture, that means it was the Best Director. That means it probably should have one of the best actor or actresses, and then maybe Best Screenplay, because isn't that the point of a Best Picture?
Yeah, I mean, the movie is literally the story
of everything.
So you would think the Best Picture winner should always win Best Script and probably Best Director.
I'd probably just say the Best Picture should probably win the most awards because it's the Best Picture.
Well, means but that's
a
saying,
lot of it is contributing
but that's
to the
saying
Best
that
Picture.
It's like you said, a standout winner, which we've already determined standout winner.
Then they're just spreading it around for everything.
Here's the thing. What if you get a movie that has a great script, but the acting's meh in it? Don't you want to honor that script? And say, like, that was a
right.
good
then
story.
Why wasn't it the Best Picture? But what I'm saying is there should be scenarios where the Best Picture is so good that it should win everything that follows.
It does happen occasionally, like Titanic.
No, I know, but I just don't.
And I think it happens when like it is like far and away the best ones.
I know, but I guess I'm just not liking the fact that none of these movies are appealing to me.
No, and welcome to my world.
And it just makes sense.
Welcome
you,
to
you
my
You intentionally
world.
Don't watch these. Just.
No, I don't intentionally. I don't go out of my way not to watch these. Every year, I like these Oscar movies come out, and they're like, these are the ones that are up for Best Picture. And I look at them, I'm like, they're all like 2.5 hours long. And it
so
just,
is Logan, by the way.
Oh, I know. Yeah. That was 2 hours, 18 minutes.
8 minutes.
But I look at that, I'm like, it's a drama. I'm not huge into dramas. Unless there's like something to it, I probably won't watch it. Like 2 years ago, I did watch Birdman because I liked the fact that it was Michael Keaton playing Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I enjoyed it.
And truthfully, Birdman is a super like easy watchable movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, easy. Yeah. But then last year, Brie Larson won Actress for Room, and I watched Room, and I can acknowledge it was a good movie. Did I enjoy it? Meh. It wasn't my kind of
that's
movie.
Fair. That's fair.
And that's my thing with Oscar movies is I don't say, well, I refuse to watch these. I look at them and I go, I don't really have an interest in watching
these. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, like, I like Manchester by the Sea. I mean, I thought it was, like, okay. It wasn't my kind of movie. Moonlight I thought was good. I don't know if I'm ever really going to watch Moonlight again. I might. I probably will, but, like, it'll be a while.
Most of these movies are dramas. Of this year, I will probably... I want to watch Arrival. I do want to watch Arrival.
Oh, God, you haven't seen Arrival?
Yeah, because when you guys went the last time, so I had something. I was either sick or working. I don't remember. But, yeah, I think it's on Redbox now. I have, like, 5 Redbox codes. I got to watch it.
Is it out there yet?
It's on, like, iTunes.
Oh, yeah, we rent it.
So, I, like, that would be the movie this year that I would actually go out of my way to see because it's a sci-fi movie, and I enjoy sci-fi movies. granted, it could be a sci-fi drama. There's still a chance that I'll watch it because I enjoy sci-fi movies. I enjoy action movies. Straight dramas, they're kind of boring to me.
So, Sean, you're just totally not interested in the human condition?
Yeah, no. Give me alien conditions.
Fuck it. Well, speaking of alien conditions, well, are we good with Oscar talk? Was that Chris's complaint corner?
No.
Oh, it's just getting firing? All right. We're already an hour into this podcast, so.
I hate how Suicide Squad won an Oscar.
Yes.
Over Star Trek, which is solely about aliens and exploration.
Yeah, I didn't think it had good. It went for costumes, right?
No, it won for makeup and hairstyling.
So they dyed a girl's hair pink.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. But right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There was I was sent a picture by our friend Kenzie the next day, and it was a picture of Harley Quinn's makeup next to one of the aliens, like the prosthetic thing, a woman getting it put on. And she said, one of these is an Oscar winner. And it's the Harley Quinn makeup's the Oscar-winning makeup, the prosthetic alien makeup that looks good.
Or Croc CGI.
Yeah, Killer Croc or...
But Enchantress. You didn't like Enchantress?
Actually, she would, if anything, she should have been the comparison person.
Except she was like all CGI.
No, the end was, yeah.
Doing the little dance thing. Sam and John were just doing.
But I can't fathom that movie won a fucking Oscar.
Yeah.
No one can. That's the thing. No one can. I'm assuming, except for... I would go with even people who enjoyed the movie are kind of like... Wow, that won an Oscar? What?
I mean, to be fair, the movie Norbit, which is Eddie Murphy playing a fat lady, also was nominated for an Oscar.
Right, but it didn't win.
No, I get it. And that's the category that kind of is open for everything,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I get it, but it's just, it doesn't make sense.
You look at the two and you're like, this one needed a lot of hairstyling, a lot of makeup, and this one didn't, and they went with the one that didn't need a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wonder, did they give it to Star Wars last year, maybe?
No, they didn't get it.
I forget who got it last
year. I don't know, that is kind of odd, because there was some pretty decent makeup in that, too. Like, they had some good aliens in that one.
I also liked how Jackie Chan was there.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He got an award.
Yeah.
Sort of like a lifetime thing.
Lifetime achievement sort of thing.
Honorary, yeah, Academy Honorary Award. And then they fuck up by showing a picture of a living woman in place of a dead woman.
Yep.
I don't know, the funniest part of the night, can we all agree that Gary from Chicago
was the best? That was the best bit I think I've ever seen.
It was hilarious.
Oh my God.
I checked Twitter afterwards when I went home because I didn't watch the end until later. But I went to check Twitter, and it's like, Gary from Chicago, already taken. And then it's Gary Oscars, already taken, immediately.
Fake Gary from Chicago.
Yeah, come to find out, he was in prison for, I want to say, 20 years, and he just got released.
Yeah, something like that.
It was something weird.
Yeah, I was listening, Jimmy Kimmel was on Bill Simmons' podcast, and he was talking about how, like, that dude was really into his cell phone, because he probably hadn't seen one in 20 years.
Yeah, it shows Americans... glued to their phones. That scene.
Oh yeah.
That little thing.
It was like filming everything.
They were filming everything. They weren't even looking.
Like, and even Kimmel was like, "You can put that down. It's on national TV."
I guess they gave them like brand new Samsung phones too.
That's cool.
Oh well. Regardless, it just shows America glued to its fucking phone. It's so embarrassing.
So by the way, I brought up the winners of the hairstyling and stuff of the past few years. So obviously, Suicide Squad won that.
This is a makeup podcast now.
Oh, yeah. But Mad Max won it last year, which Sam finally saw. Makeup was good.
Yeah, I finally good. Saw it.
Sam, what's your...
watched it last night.
Mad Max? You haven't seen that yet?
Sam, what's
you guys were giving me shit.
What's
for
your
that
1 minute
we
review?
We gave you both shit.
Oh. Well, my like one sentence review is it was everything it needed to be and nothing it didn't have to.
Yeah. So you enjoyed it.
Okay.
But it's a solid double.
The year before that, Grand Budapest Hotel beat out like Guardians of the Galaxy
for makeup,
and hairstyling,
for like making what's her face look old, Tilda Swinton.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But then the year before that was Dallas Buyers Club, which because they had to make him look like
wow, dude, you put fucking what's his face in your movie, you're gonna win best makeup. What's the Joker?
Oh, Leto.
Oh, Jared Leto. Yeah,
Leto's in. You're golden.
Wow. And then the year before that, Hobbit: Unexpected Journey lost to Les Mis.
All right. Well,
but yeah, but like
so
costume
to go back to a movie that is Suicide Squad. Like, how did this win? You have to go back to 2010 when The Wolfman won it.
The Wolfman,
which you're like, why?
All right.
But then, like, I mean,
well,
it's just.
Can we talk about one last thing for the end of the podcast?
Yeah.
Did you guys see this alien? Did you talk about Alien on the last podcast?
The Alien trailer that just came out?
Yeah, in that 5 minutes? Fuck.
No, we didn't watch the 5 minute intro.
Oh,
I watched five minutes.
It's pretty solid. And like you can see you can see right away, like James Franco's like clearly gonna die very early. Like maybe like hilariously. Like not hilarious, like, oh look, it's a joke. No, like ripped to shreds or some shit. I'm super excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Real quick, we mentioned it earlier about Sam's Netflix movie.
Can
you please just do maybe a minute or two?
Yeah. So it's this Chinese film. It's in Mandarin.
Oh, you gotta set it up.
What category? What
the category and everything.
So through a exhaustive randomization of I asked Chris and Sean to pick numbers, I landed on romance.
And you went to the bottom of the
bottom of it was a Chinese movie called Better and Better. And
subtitles?
Yeah, subtitles.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't terrible. I'll give it that. It was a cute movie. But it kind of jumped around a lot. There was way too much going on. But it has one thing.
Oh, yes.
That what?
Sorry, what's the premise of the movie?
So a bunch of people are returning to this small mountain village for New Year's Eve / Spring Festival. Chinese New Year,
okay. Basically.
And they're going to put on a show and everything.
So it's like an 80s ski movie.
Kind of.
They're not winning this.
There's these two guys in this town who are competing against each other to like make a better like thing. And their parents are in love and stuff like that. But but the best part about this movie is there is a random Gundam-style dance-off that comes out of nowhere.
You say Gundam style or Gangnam style?
Gangnam.
Gangnam. So not Gundam.
Because Gundam would be pretty awesome. Giant robots like dancing.
Sorry, Gangnam style. But it just comes out of nowhere.
Because it came out in 12 or something like that.
13.
I'm sure.
But like it, like there's no warning. There's no nothing. Just all of a sudden,
like Psy shows up and.
It just, the song kicks on, and then we have ourselves a dance battle.
It's like, all right, well, listen, we do the game style thing for like 15 minutes, and then, I mean, we just build the movie around the rest.
But it's like, it's a couple of stories in it. It's there's no.
Does the movie get better and better?
Kinda, actually. Early on, it wasn't that good, but it got better and better.
Okay. What would you rate it overall, 1 to 10?
1 to 10,
Well, how many Netflix stars, we'll say?
Netflix, well, it had 1 star on Netflix. I'd probably actually give it 2.
Ooh, that's an outperform.
Yeah.
Netflix only has 5 stars.
It was cute.
So it would be like a 4 out of 10, is what you would
say. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a cute film. Not really my cup of tea, but...
And that's the point of this.
It's all right, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So Better and Better, if you're interested, it's at the bottom of Netflix's romance suggestive list.
Well, for me, at
least. Exactly. Yeah. All right, so that does it for us for this week. Next week, Kong Skull Island comes out this next weekend, so maybe we can do that. However, before then, we will be doing our summer movie preview podcast.
Yeah.
All the movies that we are interested in and excited for coming up during the summer months. If you like all of our episodes, you can find us on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. And you can send us an email at KnightsOfNerditude@gmail.com.
Do you guys know it's Podcast Awareness Month?
Ooh, didn't I like that.
They didn't even tell us, the fucking podcast people.
Oh, well, anyway. So that does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Bye.
Adios.
Stay woke.